Dear listeners, welcome back to ITS Podcast. This is episode 78, March 2023, and I'm Mariam Kavishkar from Ahmedabad University, India. Barish is here with his news mini section, and after that, Haluk will tell us about a new book. Haluk has reviewed a book, Autonomous Vehicle Technology, Global Exploration and Chinese Practice, which is written by Ming Fong Du. This book was recently published in 2023 by Springer. Moreover, after that, we have a talk about one of the unique solutions for urban vehicles and electrification. However, we will hear that later. Let us first see what Barish has for news from the world of ITS.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Barish presenting following news in the field of ITS for the ITS podcast. GM hands-free Super Cruise to expand. General Motors is expanding its Super Cruise hands-free driving system to about 750,000 miles of roads in the US and Canada by 2025, including rural and minor highways. Super Cruise uses LiDAR map data, GPS, cameras, radar sensors, and a driver attention system to provide a hands-free driving experience with features like automatic lane changes and trailering. Unlike true fully automated systems, the driver is expected to keep their eyes on the road and be ready to take control at any time. Super Cruise, launched in 2017, was limited to certain divided highways and only available on one model. GM has gradually increased its Super Cruise network. The network also included rural undivided highways in 2022. Waymo recalls driverless cars over software error. Alphabet-owned Waymo voluntarily recalled 444 self-driving vehicles after two of its vehicles collided with the same towed pickup truck in Phoenix. All vehicles received a software update last month for accurately predicting the movement of a towed vehicle. Waymo said it consulted with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and its internal reviewer before issuing the recall. Apple car delayed. Apple has been working on a self-driving car since 2014, but has faced many challenges and changes in direction. The car is now expected to launch no earlier than 2028, with an electric vehicle that has fewer features than originally planned. Apple initially wanted a fully autonomous car, Level 5, but has since reduced its goal now to a Level 2 Plus system. This means the car will have driver assistance features like lane centering and braking accelerating support, but will still require the driver's full attention. A new research on 360 head-up displays. Researchers have developed an augmented reality head-up displays to display potential hazards as a high-resolution 3D holograms in the driver's field of vision in real time. Unlike current head-up display systems that use two-dimensional projections onto the windscreen of a vehicle, the developed system uses 3D laser scanner and LiDAR data to create a fully 3D representation of London streets and obstacles. The system they developed can project holographic representations of road obstacles that are hidden from the driver's field of view. The project is a collaboration between the Universities of Cambridge and Oxford and University College. Thank you for listening to the mini news section of the ITS.
Thank you, Barish. This was Barish Chohan from TU Berlin. And Haluk will give us some insight into the book Autonomous Vehicle Technology, Global Exploration and Chinese Practice, written by Meng Fong Du.
This is the book review section for ITS podcast. Reviewed by Dr. Haluk Eren, Fırat University, Elazığ, Turkey. The book title is Autonomous Vehicle Technology, Global Exploration and Chinese Practice, and consists of 293 pages. Published by Springer in 2023. Written by Ming Fang Du. The near future global exploration of artificial intelligence in autonomous vehicle technology is pivotal for advancing the capabilities and safety of self-driving cars. It enables the development of sophisticated algorithms that can enhance decision-making and navigation in complex driving scenarios. Understanding and optimizing artificial intelligence in autonomous vehicles will be essential for realizing their full potential and ensuring their widespread adoption in transportation systems. This book delves into artificial intelligence, particularly emphasizing a fast road sensing algorithm and system tailored for unmanned vehicles. It highlights applications such as traffic sign recognition and complex road analysis, considering the author's practical research and engineering experience in the field. The book consists of 10 chapters. Chapter 1 offers a comprehensive overview of autonomous vehicle development worldwide, focusing on typical products, test methods, commercial test progress, and commercialization bottlenecks. Understanding these factors is crucial for navigating the complexities of the autonomous vehicle industry. Chapter 2 provides a comprehensive technical analysis, detailing the architecture of autonomous vehicles and the functions of individual component modules. It also explores cutting-edge hardware technologies used in autonomous driving operation control worldwide. Chapter 3 introduces the vehicle-borne radar system and its key technologies, including LiDAR, millimeter wave radar, ultrasonic radar, and lane detection for autonomous vehicles. Chapter 4 focuses on lane visual detection and recognition technology, covering lane image processing, line detection mechanisms, and feature extraction. It discusses lane tracking, self-correction, image segmentation, navigation sign detection, and recognition based on SURF feature optimization matching and deep learning. Chapter 5 explores navigation and positioning technology, covering high-precision road network mapping, vehicle inertial navigation, and GPS-C navigation systems for autonomous vehicles. Chapter 6 delves into motion control and planning decision-making technology, exploring automatic and autonomous control systems for vehicles. It also covers topics such as action planning, behavior planning, and intelligent decision-making using reinforcement learning techniques. Chapter 7 focuses on the energy and power system of autonomous vehicles, providing a comprehensive overview of current mainstream technologies in fuel, battery, and hybrid systems. It explores the advancements and considerations in energy management crucial for the development and operation of autonomous vehicles. Chapter 8 offers insights into the intersection of automotive technology and digital connectivity. It discusses the Internet of Vehicles, covering topics like intelligent connected vehicles, CV2X, 5G V2X technologies, and relevant national policies. Chapter 9 explores the industrialization of autonomous vehicles, focusing on specialized practical applications and test field design. It discusses research and development efforts aimed at creating autonomous vehicles for diverse scenarios. Additionally, it outlines the planning and design principles for driverless towns, offering practical guidance. Chapter 10 explores the transition from autonomous vehicles to artificial intelligence cities. It discusses the future development trends in autonomous vehicles and the emergence of new business forms in intelligent transportation. Finally, it proposes the concept of artificial intelligence cities as complex giant systems. This book outlines the core technology and industrialization of contemporary unmanned vehicle systems, serving as a valuable reference for research and development engineers and industrialization practitioners. Additionally, it can function as a teaching resource for postgraduate students in universities interested in unmanned vehicle technology.
Thank you, Haluk. This was Professor Haluk Eren from Firat University, Turkey. Thank you. As Haluk mentioned and some parts of news was covering, every part of the world has its own approach to vehicle design and especially intelligent systems. The same comes when we discuss the possibility of a new vehicle design for urban application. This becomes more prominent when we consider the EV and the climate change. Today, we have Mr. Håkon Lutz here with us to know what he thinks about this. He is the CEO and one of the co-founders of Lovely, manufacturing light urban vehicles. Hello, everyone. Today we have Håkon Lutz, and I'm going to give you first a short introduction about him. Håkon Lutz is a co-founder and a CEO of Lovly, the Swedish developer of civic-minded light urban vehicles, LUVs. That's why they call them Lovly. A serial entrepreneur and technologist almost 20 years ago, Lutz foresaw that the demand for electric vehicles and oversized SUVs would do nothing for long-term sustainability, a persistent idea that is only now proving to be correct. Following a decade of engineering innovation and procedural development, Lutz and his co-founder launched Lovly in 2015 to a world rapidly waking up to the urgent need to abandoning fossil fuels and embrace alternative urban mobility options, to endeavor and to restore environmental parity. Utilizing a patented technology and unprecedented infrastructure innovation, Lovly aspires to fundamentally change the nature of urban transport for the benefit of people and the planet. This is a very interesting topic. Welcome to ITS Podcast, Håkon. Do you like to add anything to whatever I said?
There is absolutely nothing to add to that marvelous introduction. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Would you like to start introducing Lovly, your vehicle, and the whole startup or company already that you have?
Well, Lovly is our answer to a very intriguing problem, the problem of how you could build a vehicle that could function as a replacement for a car in most of the situations where you actually use cars. And the problem is that you need to technically come up with something that is sustainable, that is affordable, and that is safe. It's a troika that is really complex. I mean, it's really not a problem to build something that is very light, very, very sustainable and safe. You know, that's not something that people struggle with. But to do that in a way that actually would allow the majority of people to purchase such a vehicle, to utilize such a vehicle, that's a totally different question. And that's something that we've worked hard and long on, and where we've come up with a solution that we patented and that we're very proud of.
Very nice. I've read that Lovly is mainly made from composites.
Correct.
Can you explain a bit about composites? Of course, I will promise to my listeners that I will share some pictures and videos also later.
Actually, I will then. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to go and get...
Great. Thank you. Yes. I think Håkon is going to get something very interesting for us to look at. If you're listening to this podcast later, you can take a look at a YouTube video that I will share. If you're listening, you're still here. You're just waiting for Håkon to come back.
Sorry, I couldn't find one single demo piece.
Okay, we can see the photo behind, and that's okay.
Yeah, but basically, a sandwich composite, which is the material that we use to build this light and strong and stiff structure. It's a material where you have two skins, and these skins have strength, but they are so strong that they need not be very thick to actually be strong enough, which means that they are also flexible. You know, they're not stiff. So what you do is you take the two skins and you assemble them together with a core material, a material that basically only has the job to keep these skins at a certain distance. And then you get the stiffness from the distance between the skins. That's a sandwich composite.
So what is between those skins?
The skins in our case are fibers, glass fiber, that we sort of glue together with a matrix, that's the plastic. So that makes it a composite, the fiber together with the plastic, right? And then we sandwich that, and then the resulting product is a glass fiber reinforced plastic sandwich. Yeah.
Yes. I believe the chassis is made of this, right?
That's what we build the chassis from. And what separates Lovely from every other producer that build looky, David found the sandwich. Oh. This is the sandwich. That's the skin.
Look, quite lightweight.
It's very, very lightweight. It's immensely lightweight, but it's also immensely stiff.
Yes.
So basically, this is a layer of glass fiber. This is directional long fiber glass. So it actually has strength in four directions. And then we glue that to a core, and the result is this sandwich. And what we do is we build chassis out of flat sandwich panels. We assemble these sandwich panels using connectors, aluminum extruded connectors. And these connectors then function to assemble a number of such sandwiches in a three-dimensional structure that is the chassis.
So you're avoiding actually welding completely? Or
absolutely. No welding, very light materials, and a way of producing these light materials that is unique to us. Because normally what people do is they build monoliths out of these composites, which is a beautiful technology to build absolutely magnificent pieces, but it's also a very, very cost inefficient way of building things. So these things that you build, airplanes or chassis for supercars, the Swedish supercar producer Koenigsegg, for example, the chassis for Koenigsegg weighs almost nothing and is immensely strong, but it costs something like a couple of hundred thousand dollars to build one chassis. Now, if you want to have an impact on the environment and actual adoption of a technology, we will have to build chassis that cost a couple of hundred dollars, not a couple of hundred thousand. And that's what we've managed to do using these new technologies.
This is very well said. It's a problem that we are facing even with electric cars. Yes, there might be some sort of environmental friendly and new technology, but still the initial price to pay for them is very high. And that's why many people, in fact, they avoid buying these cars. They prefer to use the fossil fuel vehicles. That is good. That is very interesting. So what about the body of the vehicle? What is it made of? And is that heavy? I think the main weight for your vehicle goes for that aluminium connectors.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Now, there are some parts out of steel as well and so on. But you asked specifically about the body. The body for our vehicles is a very simple straight thermoplastic. So the whole body of the vehicle that we have shown to the world, the Lovely All, weighs about 30 kilos. It's 30 kilos of a very, well, it's not very cheap, but it's a very nice plastic that can be clicked onto the chassis. So it's actually attached without any fasteners, and it can be detached, clicked off of the chassis again, and recycled as is.
In one of your interviews, the interviewer was comparing your design with IKEA's. It can be assembled. That would be very nice if you give a small explanation, because I think it's quite phenomenal.
Yeah, well, we're quite happy with that comparison, despite the fact that of course, it has been misunderstood by some to mean that you could actually buy a flat pack and take it home and assemble your own vehicle. That's sadly not the...
I wish it was like that.
But it's rather close, because using the tech that we've developed, an assembly facility, effectively a production factory, can be very, very simple, very small, and it can be localized very close to the end user. So we call them microfactories because basically all of the massive tooling that is involved in car, traditional car building, and even more so with the giga presses employed nowadays in some cases, ours need basically no tooling at all. And they can be assembled in very, very simple facilities, which allows us to fully utilize modern logistics so that we can actually ship vehicles totally disassembled to a point very near the customer and then assemble them locally. So we call it flat packs because it's just not flat packed to your home.
Yeah, that I understand. Very interesting. So are you selling this vehicle already to any countries or any cities? Is being used or not yet?
No, we develop technology, mm-hmm. and we market the technology as a license to other producers. And I'm sorry to say that up until now, they're still not being produced. But as you know, I visited you in India not long ago. We are eager, of course, to allow India to utilize our tech, not only because it's a massive and very interesting market. It's also a market that is taking lead in a number of ways and has to take the lead in a number of ways. So we're really looking forward to seeing lovely vehicles on the roads in India.
Yes. One question, what's the dimension of this vehicle? Because, maybe the lining on the, length of the lanes on the street is mainly for the standard cars. And India is facing a lot of problem because of the rickshaws that you saw or any other vehicles that they don't fit in that category. There are actually a few intelligent transportation simulators or transportation simulators. They can bring that dimension for simulation as well. How do you think that this problem should be solved? Do you believe that there should be a different lane for the cars with different dimensions, or eventually the whole system will be different?
Well, first of all, I'm quite familiar with the traffic situation in India. I very much doubt that painting new lanes of different sizes would make any difference when lanes are totally disregarded anyway.
About any other place.
But yes, I do feel that perhaps sort of a separation of vehicle types might be an option in some cases. To a much, much larger extent, I would argue that we have to, and by we I mean us as citizens more than drivers, we have to decide what we want our cities and our traffic situations to be. Because one of the major problems in all big cities nowadays is that there are very many cars, and the cars are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I fail to see that rickshaws are a problem. Yes, they are at present. They are mostly ICE and polluting and not very comfortable in all cases, etc. But traffic-wise, they're super efficient. They occupy a very small space and they're very agile in traffic. That is not what you can say about the modern cars, whether they are electric or not. And as you pointed out, electric cars do not tend to be smaller or lighter than ICE cars, which is a problem in itself. I mean, in many places, it's actually a worse environmental factor with electric cars because they effectively pollute more because of their weight. So you have particulates from tire wear and road wear that is worse than the emissions from a modern car that weighs maybe half. So there are problems with traffic that I think must be regulated, and that's my personal opinion. And I think we have to be very, very strict when it comes to allowing cars to get bigger and still occupy the same streets as people and small vehicles.
So one of the reasons that many people prefer to have bigger cars is, at least what they have in mind, is safety. Have you tested the safety of Lovely, or what do you think? Can it perform well, for example, on highways?
Well, first of all, basically nothing performs well on highways. As someone in one of the major OEMs said to me yesterday or the day before, if you crash at 80 kilometers an hour, your kidneys would leave your body, whatever you travel in. So that's one point. But the major point I would say is that, well, I have a few points to make here. First of all, very little traffic actually is on highways. Most of the time, when you drive a car, you drive it in a city at relatively slow speeds. Even if there are highways in cities, the speeds are still not very high. Secondly, yes, we have, of course, developed and tested. We've developed the whole technology in our vehicles to enable us to build safe vehicles despite building light vehicles, right? So yes, we've worked very much on that, and we've tested that a lot. And that is, of course, you know, something that we continue doing. But even more importantly is, I think, that this whole trend of building bigger cars, feeling that we need bigger cars in order to give us safety, is a very destructive focus on my safety, my safety, and a disregard of my fellow beings' safety, which results in an arms race. The bigger car you drive, the bigger the car I need to drive, and then all of a sudden you need a tank. But that's what's happening. You have cars that effectively propel 1.2 people for 36 kilometers within the city, and you have cars that weigh 3 tons. It's ridiculous. You have 3 tons of vehicle to propel 75 kilos of people. It really does make no sense at all from an environmental perspective, but also from a total safety perspective. The only one who is safe in that vehicle is the driver. Everybody else is less safe. Mm-hmm. And I think that from that perspective, we really have to consider how we as societies view safety. Do we allow people to drive tanks? Is that really something that is good for society, for all of us? I would say that it's not even good for the one in the tank, because everybody else is also driving the tank. If we take a holistic approach to safety, small light vehicles with, of course, you know, safety, will be much safer for the system, which means that everybody is safer.
Yes, in fact, again, we can talk about the rickshaws here. Yeah. That they drive, they go on highway also, and as per one of their research done, they were the safest transport for children to school. The least number of accidents for children happened with those that they traveled on rickshaws.
Which I find is absolutely amazing and very impressive, and yet I wouldn't, you know, and I like rickshaws. I go in rickshaws all the time when I'm in where they exist. But even so, I would very much prefer to ride in a rickshaw-like vehicle.
Yes.
That would actually protect me also if it crashes, which it obviously does not normally do. Mm-hmm. But if you're not belted inside of a vehicle that has no energy absorption zones, no crumble zones, then you're inherently unsafe in case of a crash. So if we can combine those things, yeah, I like it.
How can what about the battery in your car? Can you give us some information about the battery? What type of battery? What's the power?
Yeah, I can tell you a lot about what we've. Yeah, I can tell you a lot about what we've done in the Lovely O, which is the vehicle that we've developed on our platform. The platform, of course, allows you to develop basically anything. It's very modular, and you could build something smaller, something bigger, with great ease and great speed. But we have constructed the Lovely O, which is built for two people that travel within a city. So it's a 400 kilo vehicle that, connecting back to what you asked before, it's a meter and a half wide, a meter and a half tall, and 2.70 meters long. It's a very spacious inside. It's not a very big outside. That vehicle is equipped with a total of 6 kilowatt hours of batteries. So we have two battery packs. There are swappable battery packs, manually swappable battery packs. So you can take them out and charge them wherever you are. You could take them to the office or your garage or home. You don't need to find a charging station or a fast charging station like you would want with a car. India, again, is one of those places where this is really happening very fast. So there are actually in place swapping solutions for a number of vehicles already. It's slowly happening also in Europe. We have some operators that are actually making way into the European system, which is commendable, of course. So you need very little batteries in order to propel a vehicle that is very light. That's the basics of it. And of course, in electric cars, the battery is one of the most polluting parts. So to be able to cut the total battery by a factor, maybe 10, is really good for everything. It's very cost effective. Batteries are expensive. If you can make do with very little batteries, that's a gain in itself. But it's also, as I said, excellent for the rest of the system, for the environment, for pollution, etc.
That's true. You discussed batteries. I want to know what do you think? You had a very good vision about the lightweight vehicles for urban area and all. What is your vision about renewable energies? Do you think something can take the place of batteries soon?
Soon, no. Because I mean, there is nothing that we can see that could do it soon, right? Over time, I'm sure it might happen. But on the other hand, with the already existing development of batteries, and assuming that others, you know, follow lovely in building vehicles that actually don't need that much batteries, I think that's a much more important factor. If we replace batteries in cars with something else that still demand cars to weigh 2 tons or more, we have very small gains to make. By slimming the vehicles, we can take much bigger steps for the environment and the energy systems than we can do by anything. It's better to save energy.
Yeah. You very much emphasize, and it's very valid, about the weight of your car. It's about somewhere 400 kg, I believe. I don't know if it's a valid question or not, but because we are in intelligent transportation, I want to ask this. Are you planning to bring any sensors in your vehicle to make it safer or more communicable with other vehicles or infrastructure or any other plan for
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, we could look at from the safety perspective. The first time when you brought up, as you suggested, when we've developed the Lovio, we have taken it to basics and shown that we can build a light, safe vehicle without smartness. Yeah, but with just a few sensors, you can have crash avoidance, you can have auto braking, you can have, I don't remember what the correct term is for sort of cue following, things that might...
Platooning you are talking about. Platooning.
Sorry?
Are you talking about platooning?
Yeah, exactly. Things that would not only make traffic safer, but definitely much more comfortable and less taxing on the drivers, which I think in the longer run definitely also contributes to safety. Mm-hmm. So that's one simple thing. And then, you know, adding smartness in some cases really is not very costly or very weight or energy consumption. In some cases, it is. Fully autonomous systems today are already very expensive and very energy consuming. That might have to change before we want to make an LUV fully autonomous. But there are so many other systems that could be applied.
Yes.
Right off the bat.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with you. Just for information to our listener or whoever is watching this, I want to say that Lovely, we are not talking about design, but Lovely has a very beautiful and lovely minimalistic design inside. Once I share the pictures and photos, everybody can see. It's a very minimalistic, I would say, some sort of a Swedish design interior of it. It's beautifully done. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're very, very happy with and proud of our designer Joakim Nordvall. He is a very Swedish designer. He is perhaps more known for other extreme vehicles, if I may call Lovely an extreme vehicle type of vehicle. He's designed a number of the Koenigseggs, so the fastest sports cars in the world. They are not as minimalistic as what we have chosen to do. But as I said, our tech is modular. It allows for basically any type of design. We have chosen to express what we feel is nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that you think so too.
But I just, last time also we discussed, I wanted to ask, have you considered any climate control in the vehicle? Does it have, I don't know if in Sweden, I don't think you will need any air conditioner in the car, but you might need some heater. Do you have any of these?
Well, at the moment we have heating, but of course, you know, luckily systems for small vehicles, systems for energy efficient vehicle are evolving rapidly. So even though we know that, for example, an air conditioning will need quite a lot of power, the power that it needs is diminishing. They are getting more and more efficient, and that is very, very nice. And of course, you know, in many climates, that's basically a necessity.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Any plan to come up with new designs or change something in Lovely in future? Structure or batteries or any plan do you have?
Well, as I said, Lovely O, the one that we have shown, is basically a showcase. So that's what we do. We develop new things. We develop new designs. We develop whatever basically our customers will want, the platform can accommodate. So if for a three-seater or a four-seater, that's what's going to happen. If the market says, no, we need very small, light trucks for last mile delivery, that's what we will develop.
That is very interesting. So the last question I want to ask, in fact, we will have lots of researchers, engineers watching this or listening to this podcast, and they want to find new areas or something interesting to make it as a topic, a project, and work on it. What you wish them to work on? Like maybe one of the things that comes to my mind, reducing the number of sensors to have a safe drive. So this way you reduce the weight. What do you think about? What you want researchers to work on so you as an industrialist or entrepreneur later, you can benefit from that?
I think that what we could benefit a lot from, and many, many other operators could benefit a lot from, would be the development of modular, truly modular subsystems. Mm-hmm. Because one of the, basically the big problem is to get sensors, subsystems, different parts that have been developed by different industries to do very specific things very well. They're not easy to get to work together. Mm-hmm. And every time when someone develops, say, a shield for an Arduino, that is something that is plug-in. It works, you know. And you can buy all of these things that just work as an ecosystem. That would be commendable to work on. You mentioned the sensors. If there were sensors that spoke the same language as every other part, and you might think that CAN is the protocol that is a go-to protocol for cars, right? And you might think that, you know, that just works. You have a CAN speaking things, it could speak with another CAN enabled part. Oh no.
I know. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that is the super problem. And that's not only the super problem for my industry in vehicles. I mean, if you go into a meeting today and you have someone bring a PC and they want to show something on the screen, you have 100 people waiting for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes before you have a picture from a computer on a major screen in 2024. That compatibility to get systems to work together is where we lack the most in all industries.
Especially right now that you said that, especially about batteries. You know, there's a swapping of the batteries. It has to be a very uniform thing that... I have lovely, someone else has something else, and we should be able to swap the batteries and charge them. I agree. This is a very interesting thing.
I mean, as such a basic thing as connectors and batteries, yeah. Yes. I mean, then again, you know, either you have a very big understanding in industries, sort of a standard system, or you have at least something that works for a number, you know, they have a subset of indices that work together. But what is, from my perspective, even more important, because battery, you can give them the connector that works, right? But when the battery doesn't, nowadays the battery talks, yeah? It's not a dumb thing. It's not like an AA cell and you plug it in. There is a computer in that battery pack. And that computer needs to communicate. It needs to be, you need to be able to talk to it, and it needs to be able to talk to other subsystems. Mm-hmm. And that is a jungle.
Yes, I agree. Then everybody listen. This is a very interesting topic to work on. That was very nice, very nice. Is there anything that I missed and you want to mention?
I suppose there is. I can't think of it now, but I'm looking forward to talking to you again then.
That would be great. Sure, sure. I hope I meet you in one of the conferences or symposiums and we will have a talk.
Excellent.
And I would like to share your website and email so our researchers, if they have any idea, if they have any findings that they would like to share it with you, they can be in touch.
They can, surely.
Thank you so much, Hakan. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation.
True pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Goodbye.
I hope everyone enjoyed the talk. Dear listeners, IDS Podcast is looking for volunteers to cover some stories or participate on their own terms. If you are interested to join us and being a voice of IDS or preparing some material, send us an email with a short resume, please. Dear listeners, we would like to hear back from you. If you have any idea to add or any specific field of research to cover, write to us, let us know. Thank you for being with us. This podcast is sponsored by IEEE Children Transportation System Society. And this was Dr. Mariam Kavishkar from IEEE ITS Society.